Welcome to Initiate Swarm Protocol. I'm Darth Wing Amok.
I am Doomsayer.
What are we talking about in this video?
Some of the best games we've ever played.
Let's start the show.
Some of the best video games that we've ever played. I'm going to start off in Zelda. The NES. I think that was 87 or 88, I think that was.
That might have been earlier than that even. Yeah.
And that was actually the first video game that had, it was like some kind of a chip or something like that, that it saved your game.
Yeah.
That was like way before memory cards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I actually remember playing that, and the cartridge itself was a gold cartridge. I mean, right there, it's like... But anyway, the one thing, the reason why that is one of the best games I ever played was it was something new, never experienced. It was also... Could you actually sit there and say it was maybe like a... Not an RPG, but I mean, it was open world and that stuff. You had, you know, all these.
It was definitely
open world.
Probably the first
open world game. You had all these like dungeons or not realms, but like dungeons you had to go down, fight bosses, things like that. But this is the one thing that I specifically remember about that. Both of us have. Strategy Guys. We remember Strategy Guys.
Oh, yeah.
My grandfather, and I've told this story many, many, many a times, was sleeped over, came downstairs, I think it was like 6:30 in the morning, and he's sitting there, and he's playing Zelda, and he's writing on a notepad. He's mapping everything out, where the bombs were, where the wooden sword that there was... There was a diamond sword. I think there was a gold sword, if I'm remembering right. But then he'd sit there and say, okay, now when you sit there and play this, you want to go over to this way. You want to grab this, grab that. That's how I sat there and I actually beat the game. It was a small but thick notepad that he had all these levels mapped out and everything else, where to get stuff and everything else. He even had it where it was timed where, listen, if you go and you grab bombs here, go off, spend maybe 5 minutes over on this side, and then come back and those bombs will be back there again where you can go and grab them, that stuff. But to me, that's what brings memories back to me is that game there, just having, you know, a great time growing up and spending time with my grandfather and that stuff. So
I got... Castlevania 3, 1989 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I got this game for Christmas, 1990. That was probably one of the best holidays of my life. I still remember playing that the whole week. Loved it. I love all the Castlevanias, Nintendo Castlevanias. But if I was on a desert island... This would be the one I would choose. But what made it so great that there's four playable characters. Of course, you play as a Belmont. You play as Trevor Belmont. But then there were three characters you could pick up. You could only pick one at a time. So if you had someone, you had to trade them off if you wanted to pick up another one. But you played as Grant, a pirate. He was fast, jumps high, and climbs walls. Sypha, a sorceress. She attacks with magic, ice, fire, and lightning. And then Alucard, which is Dracula's son. And of course, he can turn into a bat because he's Dracula's son. And if nobody knows this, Alucard is Dracula backwards. I think that's like a...
It is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's like an old thing.
Okay.
But some people don't. But then Some people don't know that. But then there were, like, the first Castlevania, you just went from point A to point B. But this one, there was three paths to get to the castle. So even if you chose one path, you still had to go back to see all the levels. You had to choose three times to see everything, and then what characters worked with those levels. But then some of those characters didn't see those, some of the levels you opened up, because that path wasn't open. It was just huge. It was just huge at the time. The level variety is probably one of the first games I ever saw where there's fog. Like Silent Hill kind of a...
Really?
Like Silent Hill, you think of Silent Hill, it's fog. But in the one forest level, there's fog. In the marshes, you sink in mud. The clock towers, of course, every Castlevania, except part two, has a clock tower. Pendulums were moving, gears spinning. One level looks like Atlantis, like a sunken Roman city, which I love that stuff. And it fills up with water. So here you're in a rush to get out of the second half of this level before it fills up. Very cool. And then one of the coolest things, the second or third level in the castle looks like the first level from the first Castlevania. Like it's white, has red curtains hanging, and it plays the same music. And I'm pretty sure it's Vampire Killer. That's the like the Castlevania song. Yeah, I always thought that was very cool. Like, they gave, like, a nod to the first Castlevania.
That's cool. My next one is, and I just actually recently played it within the last, I'm going to say maybe 2-3 years, Limbo. This came out, I think it was maybe 2010. It came out for 360 and PS3, but I just started playing it. A couple years ago, because I got it in a dual pack. It was Limbo and Inside. But this game, it's about this little boy. He's going to just save his sister. It's plain and simple. The thing is, it's all black and white. And some of the...
Yeah, the beginning's very eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there, the death scenes... And you try not to get killed because even though it is black and white, it's kind of gruesome. I mean, there's this one part. It has a spider. And you can't wake the spider up. You have to basically sneak past the spider. So if you actually sit there and you make a sound, the spider, it takes one of its legs. And it just reminds me of... Starship Troopers. There's the one scene all the way towards the end where the brain bug sits there, sticks his tentacle into the guy's skull. That's the same exact thing that happens to this kid. I mean, he... comes apart, limbs are all over the place and that stuff. It is a great game. It's a short game. I think it's only maybe 5 hours tops and that stuff, but it's a really, really good game. Like I said, black and white, you can sit there and you can get it on, I think it's like $15. It's Limbo and Inside that, but that's another one that was, you know, good one for me.
I got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
1989 for the NES. Nintendo Entertainment System.
Okay.
Again, I got this for Christmas. This was the first game I got when I first got the Nintendo. It's not the greatest game, but it's not the worst. I don't know if I'm going off of because I was a kid and had it, but it is a great game. The music alone is amazing. Konami always had great music. I think everybody knows that, like Contra, Castlevania, of course. Of course, you play as the four turtles. But the cool thing is, each weapon, like Donatello is stronger than Raphael. Like, their weapons have varying degrees of strength. But then each turtle has its own life bar.
Okay.
So, the secret of this game is knowing when to switch characters to take out the enemies. That's, like, the big secret. And this game, everybody knows this. There's a million videos on YouTube. It is notoriously hard. Like, it is almost impossible. Not Battletoads hard, but everybody complains about the water level. It's the second level, you're swimming. I don't find that level that bad. That level's not that bad. In level 4, there's a part where you have to work your way down a room with little slots in the floor and spikes are closing in. Like Indiana Jones style, I guess. That is a nightmare to me. 33 years later, that is so... It's nightmare inducing.
Is this game on the Turtles Collection? The Cowabunga
Collection? Yes. That's basically the reason I bought it, so I have another copy of it, just as a backup for the original. And then you get to the last level. The last level, you're running around the Foot Clan's base, but you have to work your way to the Technodrome. Just getting to the Technodrome is hard. But then you're in the Technodrome. As a child, this was so hard. And there was no continues. If you died or lost all your turtles, back to level one. It was so, man. But a great game. I still love it. I play it every year or two.
See, so. games years ago aren't like today where you have save points, you know, checkpoints, things like that.
Oh, no, you had to put in work years ago.
Yeah, you had to. If you died after your three, lives were done, you went all the way back right from the beginning and had to, you know, work your way all the way back up. It was a big pain in the ass. I remember that. I do remember that. Mine, a third one on mine is Fable 2. Short little story. I got laid off in 2009. I played all these games. I played Fable at an old friend of ours when he had the original Xbox and played it there a little bit. It wasn't bad, the first one. But then I was able to get this used, I think it was, from GameStop. Picked it up. I was like, you know what? Let me try this out. Great RPG open world. Your character, you can build your character to either be good or evil. You can have your character, if he eats too much, he'll wind up getting fat. Of course, my character did get fat. You have a dog. You can kick chickens. You can sit there and fart and marry, as many women as you want and that stuff. But the thing is I never played a game all the way up until that point that I just had, it was nothing but fun because you had the seriousness of the game where, magic, you're fighting bosses, things like that. But it also had the comedy in there. It kept it, fresh and everything. Every time you went back. Another thing too is you could have co-op where you could have somebody come in, help you with the, boss battles and things like that and that stuff. But that just, I just remember sitting there and it was right before, I think it was September. All I did for almost 2.5 months was just play Fable 2. I beat it within a couple weeks and that stuff. And then it was just all the side stuff that I, just wanted to pick up, play, do all the side quests and everything. Then there was DLC that came out. I think there was, if I'm remembering right, it might have been, you went on to a ship. It was kind of like a pirate ship. And then you went off to another island and you had to do stuff over there. I think there was There was a witch, if I'm remembering right. And then there was a big giant orc that you actually, it was like a battle arena that you had to go in there. And the orc was actually the last boss and that stuff. But you were going and sitting there and playing level after level after level of just nothing but, you know, enemies and that stuff. Like a battle arena or something like that. But the thing is that just kept me so glued. I couldn't play anything else. For, you know, until I think that year it was Call of Duty came out. But that game, that was basically my first RPG ever. And I could not stop playing it. Well, actually, I'm wrong because I did play Mass Effect. But the second RPG. And I just loved it. So.
Donkey Kong Country. Oh. 1994 for the Super Nintendo. This game made me get a Super Nintendo. I remember playing it at a buddy's house. We rented it. It was amazing. The graphics at the time, that was insane. Those graphics were insane. I think it still looks good today, but back then, it looked like Donkey Kong. It looked like they were really there, like in front of you, like it wasn't flat. Like, it had, like, depth to it.
Okay.
If I'm explaining that right. I forget what the graphics, what they called that, pre-rendered or rendered or something. But games mimicked it after that. But Donkey Kong Country, in the water levels, the sharks swimming around. I love the sharks. I think they still look amazing. Every time I play this game, I just got to sit there and just watch a shark swim for a little bit. But the music is great. The whole game. But the water level music is probably one of the best pieces of video game music ever made. I love it. It's like so relaxing and soothing and tranquil. Like, and then, of course, the levels. A lot of levels. Great level design. There's a good challenge. You know, it's not too hard. Eventually, it gets pretty hard. A lot of hidden areas. So to get 101% on this game, I think you had to get 101. You had to find everything. So you had to keep going back in a level and exploring. But that kept you coming back. But then some of the levels, I always thought were cool. Some of the levels had thunderstorms. One level snowed. The one level, when you start to level, the sun sets. I always thought that was amazing looking. And then in one level, you're in a cave, but the cave is dark. But you have a little parrot behind you, shining a flashlight. So wherever, you can only see where he's shining that flashlight. So that created some challenge. But yeah, great game. Great game, yeah.
Another one of mine, and of course I was laid off for this one too, but my cousin actually got me into this one. I played GTA Vice City, got into that, but then I'm a big movie buff, which you already know. Oh, both of us are huge into movies. Never saw this movie until I actually went and played the game. Scarface. Never saw the movie Scarface whatsoever until I sat down. I started playing Scarface on the PS2.
That's almost amazing that you never saw Scarface until the game came out.
Listen, I haven't watched any of the Godfather movies.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen them.
So, but I got into that, and listen, between the music, I mean, it. The video game, it actually starts off right at the end, and spoiler alert, if nobody's actually ever seen this, but which I can't understand, but, you know, Al Pacino's character, he gets killed, and, you know, it's the classic scene of him holding up the M16 and saying hello to my little friend and that stuff. That's where it picks up.
And then he has to build his empire back up, yeah.
All that. But the music, you had Blondie, there was Motorhead in there. just classic songs and that stuff. And the thing is I was so into GTA, this actually worked out perfect because I was like, oh, this is great, you know? Another open world game. Not going to sit there. I don't think it was an RPG or anything like that, but open world, like you sat there and said, you had to go build your empire back up. You had to go to all these gang establishments, take them over. You could build your cars, repair your cars, you know, have your, I'll say your villa, you know, because in the movie he has that big giant mansion and that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you build that back up. It was just a classic game at that time, and which we'll get into a game that you got me into when I was laid off, but that was a perfect game to sit there and play, get into. I spent all day. And the thing is, as I'm sitting there playing the game, when I got tired of playing the game, I just go and I watch the movie because at the time, the movie was playing every damn day. And I had satellite, so if you know, you watch it on the East Coast, 3 hours later, you watch it, you know, on the West Coast and that. So it was constantly on, so I knew everything that was, you know, with the movie and never missed it and that stuff. So
all the references.
Oh, my God, yeah. And Al Pacino would have been a great voice. He didn't voice the character in that, but it would have been great if he did in that. But that's another one of mine.
Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
That's a big one.
1998 for the Nintendo 64. I waited so long for this game to come out. I was so excited. Cool story, I think. At the time, I worked on second shift. I started work at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The day this game came out, I woke up. I didn't look at the clock, but I said to myself, if it's before 10, I'll go get it. If it's after 10, I'll just wait till I go to work, and then play it when I get home. Here I look at the clock. It's 5 of 10. I'm like, well, guess I'm going to the mall. Here, I went over to the mall, and this was the strangest thing. This is when electronics boutique still existed.
Oh, shit.
There was a line of like 30 people coming out of electronics boutique. I didn't understand what was going on. At that time, like that's common to wait for video games. But at that time, it was like, what is going on here? And an employee comes out. He's like, anybody that wants Zelda, over here. Anybody that wants anything else, over here. Because there was nobody over there. And here, I had to wait in line. I don't think I pre-ordered it at that point. So it was like, oh my God. Like, I didn't know. Like, this is like years ago. But loved A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo. That's the one that got me into Zelda. But going from A Link to the Past on Super Nintendo to this, like a 3D open world, I'm pretty sure it's the first open world game I played. If you want to count Castlevania 2. Or not. That's debatable, I guess. But going from that to this, it was amazing. There's so many good things to say about this game. But the controls were great. The story, you go from young Link to old Link. And you see Hyrule aging throughout the years. Like it's like a time travel thing. Very cool. A lot of secrets. There's secrets all over this game. Of course, it's Zelda. The fishing, there was a part where you fish. I fished in this game so much. It was so great. And the music was relaxing while you're fishing. Great. The graphics at the time, they were amazing. But like the Nintendo 64, I think the Nintendo 64 aged badly. Like it was good, but it was bad at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the graphics were, like it was fully 3D and you're running around, but it just, the graphics were like fuzzy. Luckily they did a remake for the Nintendo DS, which is, that's amazing too. That would be the reason to buy a DS. I played this game every day for 8 months. Like, every day. I found everything in this game. Every treasure chest, every grotto, every fairy fountain, like, everything. I found everything after 8 months. Like, I wandered around this world so much, I used to just go and watch the sunset in every area of this game and then watch the moon come up, like an actual time change.
Oh, wow.
You know, just like Castlevania 2. But again, that's debatable because it, when time changed in Castlevania 2, it just came up and said, oh, the sun's setting, basically. That's what it was saying. And anyone who has ever played this game, at the beginning, when you first leave the forest and you go out in the Hyrule field and you see how vast and open it is, that was amazing. That was so amazing back then.
Another one of mine, and when this game actually came out, there was another game that was kind of in the same vein, Infamous, for the PS3. That was 2009, I think it was, when that came out. Another game that I played when got laid off and that. But there was, you had Prototype that came out in June. And then people were actually taking Infamous and saying how similar it was in a lot of ways to Prototype. And listen, I love Prototype. I do. I love both of them. I know some people sat there and said, you know, two's good. The first one's the best one. But Infamous, no. I don't. There might be some similarities where there's a lot of, it is open world and that stuff. But, I mean, you have this character, Cole. An environmental accident happened. So you start off at the beginning of the game, you know, you're trudging around debris and a building that fell down and all this other stuff. And, you know, you start going through everything there. You get to your apartment and then you start to find out that you have these powers, electrical powers and that. And in order to sit there and upgrade your powers, you have to go down into a sewer and you have to actually... I'm not going to say it's just something kind of like athletic. You're riding on electric conduits and that stuff, trying to keep yourself on there. And that's how you pick up more and more powers and everything. But the another part of this game is it just kind of like Fable. You have a good side and then you have a bad side. And that actually gave a lot of replayability for me because I wanted to play the good side and see how that worked out.
So it had, like, choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you sit there, you were sitting there fighting gangs. Did you want to save pedestrians or did you not want to save? Did you want to kill the gang and kill the pedestrians? That, of course, that would make you evil and everything. But it just... It gave you that choice that you can sit there and do that, but then also the replayability that you want to go back and whatever way you went, whether it was good or bad, you wanted to play the other side and that stuff. The main boss at the end, what a pain in the ass, playing that on hard. Oh my, it just a pain to beat him, but I did. I'm going to actually go back and replay that one. I know they kind of did... I don't know if it was like a soft reboot of Infamous Second Son when the PS4 came out and that. I have yet to play that, but I want to go back and play the first one. But yeah, it was just, I mean, again, I love the open worlds, you know, like you, where you can go, you can explore, you can find different things. When you go and you can do side missions, especially when side missions actually sit there and help the game progress. Where it fits into the story to give you more story of what's going on, backstory to whether it's your character, whether it's the, you know, the main boss, whether, you know, it might be like with Prototype, you were able to pick out these cells and that stuff. with Infamous, you were able to pick up the story as you kept on going. There wasn't a ton of side missions, but I do remember that there were, it was kind of like ability challenges. Yo, I suck at any of these ability challenges. Like with Spider-Man 2018, I'm surprised I actually was able to get some of those. I don't think I got many of these. But that didn't ruin the game, though, either. I was still able to sit there and enjoy the hell out of the game. I played it twice. I'm going to wind up going back and playing it again and everything. But yeah, that game, another game for 2009, it was great.
I got Horizon Zero Dawn. 2017 for the PlayStation 4. This game made me get a PlayStation 4. After seeing pictures in Game Informer, I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And then when they released the trailer that summer,
I saw 2013, real quick. I saw when they brought out their E3, they showed a little clip. And I was like, between that and Order 1886, I said, that's the reason why I'm buying a PS4.
Yeah. It was so cool, but it seemed like just like a fresh idea. Like, they live primitive, but there's robots. It's like, what's going on here? And then, of course, you realize what's going on. Oh. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but the story was great. The map, it was just exploring. Always something to look at. Like, there was battlefields, old ancient battlefields.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like, what happened here? But then it kind of gets fleshed out what happened there. And the robots, of course, that's the star. That's the star of the show.
There was amazing.
The robots. I always, like, whenever you saw a new one, it was like, oh, my God. Like, it was so, like, looking at that, it's like, what is that? Like, when you saw the Stalkers, the Thunderjaws, or the Snapmaws. It was like, and I love robot animals for some reason.
So we
I really like them. But I like looking at the animals or the robots and seeing what real life animal they were probably designed off of.
Right.
I like doing that. I played this game a lot. I'm sure I didn't find a lot of things or do a lot of things. I did a lot. I didn't do everything. Let's just say that. But one of the things at towards you discover, I thought this was neat. Some of the trees down in the jungle, I probably ran past these 20 times and didn't realize it. But going up the tree, there's leaf cutter ants. There's like ants carrying leaves up the trees. I saw one up north one time. Remember the part where you first run into a stalker?
Yeah.
Up north?
Yeah.
I seen it on a tree up there. But I thought that was such a little detail that probably nobody even noticed.
I never noticed. Some Dude, people probably noticed. I got 100 hours into that.
But you'll see, if you stop in the jungle and look at the skinny trees, there'll be a line of ants carrying leaves up them. And it's leaf cutter ants. Oh, that was cool. That... Yeah.
How the hell did I not see that?
A little it's so camouflaged in there.
Holy yeah. shit. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Just a little detail that adds to that world. Like, yeah.
Well, see, that's a lot of, and this is, it's not, has nothing to do with, you know, Xbox or PlayStation or anything, but so a lot of the Sony developers, they do take a lot more to put in more detail in that stuff. To their games, and that detail actually fleshes out the game a little bit more and everything. Oh,
that
too.
Pulls you into that world.
Yeah, yeah, you feel a part of it in that.
Like Red Dead, GTA 5, like you're in that world at that point. Like, yeah,
yeah,
the details, that's the best. Like, yeah.
And that about does it for this video. I am Doomsayer.
I'm Darth.
And in the comments, let us know some of the best games you ever played.
Thanks for watching. See you next time.